Welcome to Just Pure Laughs, the podcast all about clean comedy. I'm your host, Dan McGowan. I grew up in an entertainment family and have been working as a clean comedian for nearly 30 years. My experience includes comedy clubs, corporate events, cruise ships, community events, military and theater shows, and more. I'm a winner in the Branson Clean Comedy Contest. I've appeared in TV commercials and theater productions and recently filmed a Dry Bar Comedy special that you can find over there at drybarcomedy.com. In many ways, I've seen it all and always seem drawn back to comedy that everyone can enjoy. Clean comedy. So, if you enjoy comedy that is suitable for all ages and just want to learn more about clean comedy, stick around because it's time for Just Pure Laughs. All right, this is great. Thanks for being with us today. My guest on today's episode is Michelle Van Dusen. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I said your last name right, didn't I?
You did. Very good.
Good. Well, you know, I try to be accurate on these things and make sure I'm calling people what they want to be called. So I'm so glad you're here with us today. And let's just jump right in. I wanted to find out, so you can tell everybody, where are you in the world? Where are you located?
Am I really here? No. I was born and raised in the Chicagoland area. And so, and then we moved. So I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where I'm residing.
Hey, cool. All right. So this is sort of a time travel thing because we're talking across different time zones, right? I know. It's nice. So, okay. So just so everybody knows, Michelle, you are a comedian. That's what you do. You're a comedian.
Yes.
And do you have any kind of a day job or is this all you, are you able to just do this, do comedy?
This is what I do because I am a wife and thank God that my husband has a job and he supports my craziness. So
that's great. I'm kind of in the same boat, but flip it around. My beautiful wife is a nurse. And that's great because, you know, we can eat and pay bills. So, you know.
Eating is nice.
Eating is nice. Yeah. What did you eat for breakfast today?
I haven't eaten yet.
What? Time is it? What time is it there? Isn't it like, do you not normally eat till about lunchtime? Or
It's lunchtime. I typically don't get up until around now. So if you hear this groggy voice,
oh my gosh,
early.
Look at you living the life of a queen. You know, I'll just wake up whenever I want.
That is correct. You may now address me as Lady Michelle.
Lady Michelle. That sounds like a character on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Lady Michelle. So okay, well, cool. So you're a comedian. And yes. How did you get started in comedy?
I got started because of baby blues. Seriously. I have four boys, and I was sitting in my living room watching, at the time, it was Rosie O'Donnell. We were living up in Bolingbrook, Illinois. And I was nursing one of the kids, and I had four other boys sitting there because I also, my sister's kid would be over. And popped up this commercial on there was, do you have talent? Can you do this? Can you do that? We're looking for talented people. And I sat there and I thought, oh my gosh, I don't do anything. I am homeschooling these children. I used to play in the orchestra. I used to be a missionary. I used to have purpose and meaning in my life. Now all I have is these kids, which is a horrible way to think, but that's what baby blues is about. It's about not thinking that your children are important. Anyway, so when I was sitting there and I was thinking about it, I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to start living with that whole no regrets kind of a thing. And I thought, can I tell any jokes? Because I've come from a very funny family. And my cousins and my brothers, everybody's very funny and they're very talented. Like my one cousin, Laura, she is an incredible actress. Like if I ever write a movie, I'm going to cast her as the lead because she's so good, but she's just not in Hollywood. Anyway, I digress. So yeah. I'm sitting with my kids and I'm thinking, man, what can I do? And I thought, aha, I know five jokes and I can tell these five jokes. Really, they were insults that my sister sent to me. You know, she would just call me up every day. And she's like, hey, you know, who do you call if your kids get sick? Ha ha ha, click. You know, like that's what I was dealing with, was these insults about homeschooling my children. I'm like, I also have your son here. Anyway, so funny. I took those five jokes, went up to Wisconsin to do a, you know, 5-minute set or whatever it was, 3-minute set, whatever it was, and in front of Carolyn Ray.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. And it was going to, because there was that whole talent search kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I started. I was like third to last in line. And the guy in front of me, right before he does his audition, the producer there says, okay, guys, I just want you to know that Carolyn has to leave now. So we're just going to record the rest of you. And I look at him like, there's three of us in line. And you're going to record three of us for her? She can't wait another extra 10 minutes for us to get through this?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And it was a small area. So she actually had to pass me, you know, going through kind of that, like, and you're in a very crowded place. It's like, excuse me, like that kind of like you're, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can say I bumped into, Carolyn Ray.
Carolyn, yeah.
Yeah, at a comedy club, I just kind of bumped into her. No, she bumped into me. She's very tall. I'm very short. She basically walked right over me to get out. That's what it was. So that was my start. Baby blues and just being walked all over by Carolyn Ray.
So that's a great story. So this was a comedy contest? Is that what this was?
Yeah, it wasn't. But it wasn't a contest. It was more like an audition.
Okay, for an audition or like a showcase to appear at a club or something, or
to be on her show. So she
she
was taking over Rosie O'Donnell's show.
Got it. Yeah.
And so she was going to be the host of it. And that's what it started. And that was it. One and done. And
well, how long ago was that?
that was in 2000.
Okay. So
yeah,
a while ago.
Yeah,
but that's great. So would you say, is it fair to say that since that time, you've been performing comedy?
Yes, definitely. Because when we moved to Oklahoma, again, I heard on the radio a little casting call kind of a thing. And, you know, it was at the mall and it was like, you know, you got talent, come audition,
wow.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it was, you know, for dancers and singers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and I've been an actress for a while, so, and I had my kids in acting and when we were in Chicago and stuff. And so I knew if you're going to go to those open call kind of things, it was really just to, you know, get your money kind of a thing. But I didn't care. I'm like, I'm going to go do this again, you know.
Yeah,
live
because
once,
really, you never know where those things are going to lead, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I go to the mall and I stand in line and there's thousands of people there and I get up. I finally get my turn at the desk and there's one lady sitting there. I do my, you know, five jokes. Well, now it's like seven jokes because I don't know why I just started writing. It was just weird. And so now I got my seven jokes. I tell them and she looks at me and she goes, okay, you're not ready for Hollywood. However, I would like to give you a call back. I was like, oh, okay. And then I walked away with a call back. So, and I'm thinking Hollywood, who wants to go to Hollywood? Not me. Anyway, so the next day, do my callback. Now it's in a room. It's now we're at a hotel versus the mall, you know, one of the convention rooms kind of a thing.
Right.
And it's all the people. So you get to watch everybody do their things. And then she calls them over and it's like whispering because you don't know what's being said. You can see people leaving in tears or leaving with paperwork.
Gosh.
Yeah. They're either tears are happening or paperwork is happening. That's what's happening.
Wow.
Yeah. And so now it's my turn. I tell my few jokes. People laugh, which was really cool. And then she doesn't call me over to the table. She just leaves me standing there in the middle of the room. And she goes, and she announces this to everyone there. Okay, I told Michelle yesterday, she's not ready. However, I want to see what she can do in a year. And I was like, oh. So I thought, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
That's when I started going to the local comedy club and learning how to hold a microphone and how to tell jokes. And that's the beginning.
That's pretty cool. That's a great story. I mean, it's similar for a lot of people, but I think a lot of people bypass the go to a room and audition for a showcase thing. And they just go to a comedy club and decide, I'm going to give this a shot. And so they sign up and get up on an open mic or new talent night or whatever.
Yeah.
And you got to do something before that, which is cool. So you were already somewhat prepared for that club experience, you know, of going up and being in front of people.
Yes, but no. I don't recommend anyone ever just starting out with a contest. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's the worst. Like, if hey, you want to fail? Come do this.
Right, right. Yeah, it's very terrifying, right? Yeah, yeah, it's hard. It's very hard. So now I know that you work as a clean comedian. Did you always work that way?
Yes.
And why? Why is that? Why did you choose to go down a path of working as a clean comedian?
It's who I am. Like, I've never been big on swearing. So, like, growing up, I don't know if you know this, Dan, but I actually wanted to be a nun. So, yeah, I did. So talking about anything blue on stage is very uncomfortable to me. Like, actually, like, just in life, talking about any of that is very uncomfortable. Like, right now, I'm blushing. Thank goodness this is just audio.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm 56, and I've given birth 4 times, so I definitely know what I'm doing. I just don't want to talk about it. You know what? You know what? Like, just next question.
That's good. Well, you know what's funny is, you don't know this about my life, but my mom was actually, she grew up Catholic, and she was on a path of becoming a nun. And when she was 18, she got the acting bug and decided to go to Hollywood and did some minor acting roles in different shows. So she gave up that whole path of being a nun to chase the dream of winning an Oscar, you know.
Wow, that is so crazy, because I was on the acting path and then I gave it up so I could, you know, be a nun.
Wow. And, so it's like the opposite. That's really funny. Yeah.
But what's so crazy is I put my application in and everything. Do you want to know what they said?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still waiting to hear back.
Oh, you put your application in to be a nun and you didn't hear back.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Talk about unanswered prayer, right? Like, can you just give me an indication? Can you just tell me? I don't wear the habit well. Just tell me something, you know, so that I know.
Yeah. And I would have been so thin wearing black. I mean, come on.
That's the only reason I want to become a nun. That's funny. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Did you, growing up, have any comedy influences?
Well, my family is just hilarious. You know, and I was trying to think about, like, you know, we watched Carol Burnett growing up.
Yeah.
And, because I worked in the theater, like, I loved, like, Donald O'Connor.
Yeah.
And people wouldn't think of him as comedy, but it was always those comedy shows, the musicals and the comedic things like that I absolutely loved.
So you were talking about Donald O'Connor.
Yes.
And when I think of him, I immediately think of Singing in the Rain, and he was very funny in that.
Yes. Yeah. You know, the whole make him laugh. Cause I got to meet him, because I worked as an usher at Drury Lane, in Oprah Terrace, which is outside of Chicago. And that was one of the live shows that came through. What wasn't Singing in the Rain, but it was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And he was the lead star in that. And so I got to meet him and his wife, and we ended up having a great relationship. So much so he even gave me a Christmas gift. So, like, that was really cool.
Wow.
And then I saw him years later in California on the red carpet. It's just weird that I was even there. And he was coming by, and I was like, Donald. And the news reporter guy that was hanging on my shoulder, he's like, kid, you know, I'll get him over here. I looked at him like, no, you won't. And I said, Donald. And he goes, Michelle. Like, he remembered me years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so cool.
Nice.
So I thought that was really, it was an honor. And then I met him. Then we saw him again, when he did a show here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So then my husband got to meet him.
So what has your comedy path been like? Have you been working in clubs? Do you do theater shows? Do you work for churches? Any of that stuff? Just talk about some of that.
Yes, I will talk about all of those things. I have worked in all of those areas, actually. I started my career in the comedy club arena. And then I did a lot of traveling, did Las Vegas Comedy Festival, did some stuff in Chicago. I traveled around with one of my friends. And then I stopped and I looked at my children, who were very young at the time, you know, elementary age. And I looked at them and I thought, what am I doing? I am not making enough money for my husband to stay home, and our children need to be raised properly, you know, not just by somebody else. And so I stopped traveling and I stuck here and did the local comedy club. In fact, there was a club that my friend started, and so I was the MC host. So for 3 to 4 months, I hosted Wednesday through Saturday, every show. And then I was able to stay involved with my children's life. And I started an after-school comedy club for children. And so that's kind of how I started. And then in that process, I got connected with the Christian Comedy Association. And I started performing in churches. And that's the beginning. Now, as of late, I've been doing more theater events with a couple of the comedy tours that I've been a part of.
What a great journey that sounds like it's been. I mean, you've been involved in sort of at the very beginning of doing these. I like how proactive you were of trying to make things happen, you know, and then getting involved with the CCA, the Christian Comedy Association, and now doing, you know, these theater shows with other comics, which is great. I also know, because I was a guest on it, I also know that you do a podcast. So talk to us about
that. Yes, I love doing this podcast. It's called The Laugh Support. Not life, laugh. Ha 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 ha. And I co-host it with June Bug Colson, who is a clean comedian out of Kentucky. And so we do our podcast in audio and in video. So we have a YouTube channel that if you Google The Laugh Support Podcast and or with my name, which I guess I should say is Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E. It's one L because when I became a Christian, it scared the L out of me. What?
Ah.
or if you Googled it with, you know, did the search with June Bug, it would have to be June Bug Clean Comedy because there's another June Bug out there. And my June Bug is a white female, not a black male. So I'm putting that out there at YouTube. If you're going to look for her, white female. Anyway, so it's June Bug Clean Comedy. So we do this podcast. We've been doing this podcast for a couple of years, and we've won a couple of awards. And oh, Dan, right now, we are actually up for an award. It's called a Crown Award, and it's going to be it's the IVCM, and it's really exciting because we are a finalist, and so we're going to go to Texas in February to the I think it's called the Gaylord Hotel outside of Dallas,
okay,
and it's part of the I don't know, it's some big thing that's happening, and we're up again. There's five finalists and the top three get awards. So we'll find out if we're an award winner.
That is very exciting. That's really cool. That's great. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this. This isn't on that list of things I sent you, but do you have a feeling or a philosophy, or I'm not sure what the right word to use here is, but it seems like, well, in general, clean comedy, why does that continue to be a draw for audiences?
Oh, well, I think you have different audiences for different, like there's different comedians out there for different audiences. And I know that if you have a family or if you are leaning towards being a Christian, or you are a Christian, or you have family values, then you desire clean comedy. You want comedy that is safe for your ears and your children's ears. And not necessarily that clean comedy is always meant for children, because it's not, because subject matters you know, don't necessarily, they don't understand a lot of things, you know, so it depends on certain ages of kids. But I think that people are tired of just getting that brassness thrown in their face. And so people are desiring to go to look for more clean comedy, which brings me to the fact that, I don't know, dry bar comedy. I know you've done a special. Dry bar comedy is a platform for clean comedy, which is wonderful. And the thing is, one of the things with dry bar, though, is because the comedians have a clean set on dry bar, doesn't necessarily mean that their comedy is always clean. So you have to do your research before you just go, right. Oh, hey, they're in town, let's go. You've got to do your research. Otherwise, it might throw you for a loop.
Well, yeah. And you know what? That reminds me of kind of the old days, because I'm old. It reminds me of the old days when, you know, we would see comedians on like The Tonight Show with Carson or whatever. And obviously, because of television, you had to work a certain way.
Yeah.
You had to be cleaner, you know. But most of those comedians also had what they called a club act. Yeah. Where it was not at all anything that would ever be acceptable for the censors or sponsors on TV. So I really like that point you just made, that just do the research. You know, if you want to bring a clean comedian to an event, or you want the comedian who comes to work clean, just make sure that you vet them.
Yeah.
And see what they do outside of dry bar, let's say. And you recently shot a dry bar, right?
I did. I have no idea when it's going to be coming out. I mean, they're going to have to do some editing to it, obviously. And that takes a while. So, yes.
Well, and let's be clear on that. They're not editing out naughty things you said. They're editing it for other reasons,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. For sure. They're editing, yeah. You know.
Well, you know, it took mine about a year to actually show up. So it was a long process, but I'm sure they've got so many people that they line up to, you know, who want to be on, send in footage or whatever that want to be on there. So,
yeah.
So let me ask you this, have there been struggles because of that? Like, have you had doors closed to certain gigs that somebody said, no, we can't hire you because, you know, you don't cuss or whatever? I mean, has that been a stumbling block for you to work clean?
Yes, it has been. Only because some of the material that I'm working on right now is I'm trying to do more about being a nun and things like that. And a lot of people are like, we don't care about that information. And when there's other stuff that I've done that was clean, that was a couple of clubs were like, yeah, that's not the material that we're looking for. So it has closed some doors, but that's okay, because those were doors I didn't need to walk through, or I didn't need to be a part of. And that's one of the things that's been hard for me, is like, just this past couple of weeks, I just went to two open mics, like in the same night kind of a thing. Like I went to the, cause I'm working on some new material, mm-hmm. and I want to, you know, get it out there so I can just figure out if it's working. And the first place was decent, but it was just a room full of comedians. And so then I went to the next place, which was then a later event. And now it's in a bar, you know, so it's not a typical open mic kind of a thing, right? So now it's at a bar. And it just, there was smoking, like, in and out. Like, it was just all the things that I personally can't handle anymore physically. Like, I can't be around cigarette smoke. I can't, you know. And it was, but it wasn't, I don't even know if it was cigarettes. It could have been cigars. It could have been, who knows? I don't know. There's a world out there that I did not know existed anymore because I'm so far removed.
Right.
And I was like, whoa. And so that was really hard. And so that door was open for me to go to, but I am now making the decision. I am actually, it's closed because I'm closing that door. I can't go through that door.
Yeah. I like that. I think that we have to do that. We have to get to a point where we say, okay, this is who I am. Like, this is my comedy voice, or this is my persona, or whatever you want to call it. And I like what you said early on, that, you know, you were kind of saying that the reason you choose to work clean is that's who you are. And I will never forget, there was a time in Denver when I was doing comedy, and right before I went on, I decided that I was going to say a word that I'm not going to say here because this is a clean comedy podcast, but and it wasn't a horrible, horrible word, but it was, you know, I just decided everybody else is doing it. I'm going to add that in my act. And so I did that. I added that word. It didn't make the joke or the set any better. It didn't ruin the set. You know, it was just what it was. But when I came back to the green room off stage, I thought, you know, that's just not who I am. So I don't need to be doing that. And it isn't anything. I didn't feel like I was going to go to hell or anything for saying it. I just, it wasn't me. It wasn't my face. My little chubby cherub face wouldn't say something like that, you know? So anyway, I like you, I decided I'll just work clean. And I stood out, as I'm sure you do, in the river of people that are all over the map with, whether it's vulgar content or whatever, it just happens, you know? And we who work clean, you know, people ask me, why do I work clean? And I mean, one of them is my faith. But the other reason is I've gotten work as somebody who works clean. A company will pay me to come in and tell jokes, and they can trust that I'm not going to be dropping F-bombs or whatever in the middle of their corporate event, you know. And HR really likes me because of that. So they'll give me some money, you know, for coming and doing that. And it's like, wow, fantastic. So, you know, like you, I've had to. I've chosen to operate in a way that is who I am deep down inside, you know, which I think is important for us to do as comedians.
Yeah.
So here's another question for you. Can you share with us some of your, if you have them, some of your comedy goals, things you still want to achieve in the land of being a comedian?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I had the pleasure of being a crowd warm-up comedian on Huckabee, and I've decided. So I decided to put on my goal list. I actually want to be a comedian on the show versus pre-show. You know, so that's one of my goals. And then I want to later this year. I say later this year in 2025, I will be shooting my own comedy special.
Oh, good.
And I want that. Yeah, I want that to be like on Amazon or Netflix or whatever, wherever, you know, you get YouTube. I don't know. I want it to where people have to, you know, they have to pay for it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I want,
even if it's 99 cents, I don't know. I want it to be something that I've created and I've made. And that one is going to be called The Death of Me.
Okay.
And it's going to include all of my dead jokes. And I don't mean all the jokes that I have died. What I mean is like the things that concern death. So like when my mom died, so the passing of my mom. And so it'll be like my parents' stories. Hmm. And then when I took the kids to a couple of times, I've taken them to some funerals. And so it'll be some of those stories in there. And, you know, so I just want all of that kind of thing that to be on that special.
Yeah.
You know, so that way then I can like get that out of my head and get it out of what so I can go to the next set of material that I want to explore.
Oh, I love that.
Because like that's the thing is like when you have something in you, you know, and so then you talk about those things and it's like, okay, when do you stop talking about those things? When do you move on to the next thing? And so I figured if I do this special, then I can move on to the next thing. And it takes time to create good material that's clean, but that it's funny. Like I could do some stuff, but where's the punchline?
Yeah. Well, that's a great comment. Something you're bringing up there, which is, you know, people who don't do this, who don't get up on stage and perform comedy, if when we're good at it, it looks like we just rolled in and we're funny, you know. But it takes time to develop our sets and our jokes and our specials, you know, whatever we're doing. It takes a long time. And even if you've been at it for a while, quasi-famous or even famous, it still takes time because you don't know how your jokes are going to land, you know. So I love that idea of this show of the, what do you call it? The Death of Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
The death
I like that.
Of me.
So as we're wrapping up here, a couple things. What do you got coming up? Anything locally that somebody there could come and see you?
Not yet. I have a couple of things, but since I'm not sure when this will be produced or you know, released, like I've got a Christmas thing coming up, and then my next thing will be in Missouri. I'll be actually the keynote speaker at a women's event at a Baptist church in Cartersville, Missouri, but that's in February. So,
okay, cool. So as long as this gets
right
on
now
before,
is open. So
yeah, as long as this is on before February, we're good to go. So yeah, okay.
So book me now.
Book you now because you're going to be really busy coming in starting February. So how do people find you, Michelle?
They can just go to michellevandusen.org. So it's michellevandusen.org, and there is the connections to my socials. You know, I'm on Facebook as Michelle's Comedy, on YouTube as Michelle's Comedy. I guess Instagram's Michelle's Comedy. I don't know. I don't do a lot of social stuff, and I need to do more. But that's how you find me, and that's how you book me.
Good, good, good. Yeah, that social stuff, it can really get clogged. You know, I'm on Facebook, but that's really it. I don't, you know, with this podcast that I'm starting, this will end up on other platforms, I guess. But I don't do Instagram, don't do TikTok. You know, Facebook keeps me occupied fine. So it's nice to have this podcast now to take me off of Facebook and do something that feels like it has more meaning, you know? Well, great. Any last words you want to share with us before I let you go and eat your meal that you're going to have today, or your lunch or whatever it is?
Ooh, woohoo. My breakfast lunch.
Yeah.
If you're listening and comedy is what you want to do, I would highly recommend going for clean comedy, but going for smart, witty comedy, you know, because it's when you can be clean and smart, then people just, I don't know, it feels like they just laugh more when it just hits them from the out of left field. You're like, wait, what? enjoy what you enjoy and be mindful of those that are around you, because when you're doing comedy that's not clean, do you really want to paint that picture in someone else's mind? Our words are our containers, and you can either bring a container full of love and joy and cleanliness, or you can bring a container of filth and disgustingness and heaviness. So lift up the spirits of the people around you, be clean, be fun, and have a good one.
Wow. Really great words, Michelle. I love it. That was a great way to close, way better than my closing. So that was really nice. If you want to get a good laugh, look up Michelle Van Dusen. Be watching for her Dry Bar comedy special coming soon. And Michelle, thank you so much for spending time with me. It's been great talking with you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Dan.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Pure Laughs. Join us next time for another discussion with another clean comedian on this podcast. Hey, I'm Dan McGowan. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.